Father Dykes, I feel like still the kid of the group, you know. So, but we are glad to be here, and we're looking forward. We got our tickets. We're heading back home December 3rd, and we're looking forward to getting back there. We've been in the States longer than we expected. We came home earlier than we expected. We stayed longer than we expected, and we are looking forward to getting back. And so, December 3rd, we are heading back to Peru. I want to tell one quick story, a little bit about my burden, how I got to know Peru before I show my video. I went to Peru when I was a teenager, and it goes back to the missions trips. And I spent the entire summer there. When I left Arequipa, which is way down south, we traveled up to Lima, the capital city, by bus. And on that bus ride all night long, I remember being on that bus, and I remember looking out the window, and I didn't sleep the whole night long. It was about a 15-hour bus ride, and I remember going through town after town after town, and just thinking as a teenager, just looking out the window and looking at those towns and thinking to myself, who's going to reach those villages? Who's going to get the gospel to those places? There's missionaries in Peru. They're in all the major cities. Lima has missionaries. There's about 10 million people that live in Lima. Arequipa, the second largest city, has missionaries. Trujillo, the third largest city, has missionaries. And they could even use more, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done there. But as I went through village after village after village after village, my heart just was very burdened for those villages and for those people that are farther out, that are not easy to get to, that hardly anyone wants to go to because it's not an easy place to live or an easy place to be. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, that's where I want you. I want you reaching those people. And so God moved us up to Cajamarca, which is way up in the north in the Andes Mountains. And then from there, my heart's desire is to go out and get into the villages and be able to plant those churches in those villages and around that area. We'll go ahead with the video. Hi, we are the Rice family, missionaries serving in Peru, South America. I'm Shane.
Hi, I'm Kathy.
Hi, I'm Micah.
Hi, I'm Christina.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
Hi, I am Mariah.
Hi, I'm Charity.
And we are the Rice family, missionaries in Peru. Leaving behind our home in Massillon, Ohio, we headed for Peru, South America in 2002. Arriving in Peru, we spent our first year in Arequipa before moving to Lima. After 2 years of working in Lima, we finally moved to Cajamarca, where we planted our first church, Anchor Baptist Church. We worked together with Pastor Freddie Nunez, who is still pastoring the church. In 2009, our church celebrated its second anniversary. We had good crowds and actually didn't have enough room in our building. Being limited on space, we started searching for a new building. Packing and moving quickly, we moved into the new building just in time for our next anniversary service. The building size was very nice, and we were very thankful for the extra space. We praise the Lord for providing the building, the location, and the people to fill it. The services were well attended as we packed the church about every night. It was our privilege to have Pastor and Mrs. Jacobs come down for the anniversary services. What a great time we had, as well as a good crowd. Children's ministry is an important part of our church. We have held different vacation Bible schools and special outreaches to try and encourage the children to come. Our main focus is to teach them the Word of God and how to be saved. This last year, we held a VBS under the tent in the mornings. These kids crossed the dirty river, excited to come to our special services for kids. They had to climb the embankment with a rope that I threw over for them. The children there enjoy the same things that kids here in the USA enjoy. We have had a lot of fun activities with them, with the primary focus of teaching them the Word of God. Our church has also hosted dinners with the purpose again of inviting lost friends and family so they could hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Dinners, videos, activities, all of these are for the purpose to see people bow their heads and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We teach them to obey the Lord in believers' baptism after being saved. Praise the Lord, I have had the privilege of baptizing some of my own children as well. After baptism, we then work towards discipling them. These are some of the people that my wife has discipled. This is Lorenzo, the man leading a church across town without a pastor. I have been discipling and training him. This is Johnny. He came to our Bible study at the very beginning and has been saved, baptized, and now has gotten married. We also have another couple that were living together, decided to make things right, and are now married as well. Both of these couples are active in the church, and we praise the Lord for them. Not all has been positive, though. We have lost some leaders in our church. As a result, we have started hosting leaders' meetings. Anyone that teaches, ushers, or leads in churches are invited to our training sessions. We play games to help break the ice and teach leadership qualities. We teach sessions to help them with their area of responsibility. We stress the importance of maintaining a strong walk with the Lord for all leaders. Then teachers are taught about teaching and classroom organization. Men are taught to lead singing and help their pastors in any way possible. Pastors are taught about spiritual leadership. After coming and spending the morning with us, we feed them lunch. It is something we do to help strengthen the leadership not only of our church, but the churches in the area to help build friendship and fellowship amongst the brethren. We have also been involved with our missionary friends that travel and show open-air movies preaching to the crowds that gather. When we are able to go, our kids help set up and tear down for these events. It is used to help evangelize where there are churches and reach more people with the gospel of Christ. In addition to this, I travel and preach when able to. I had the opportunity to travel to Paraguay to preach at a Bible conference with Dr. Humberto Gomez, who revised the Spanish Bible that we use. We also traveled out to San Pablo, a town without any gospel preaching works, and passed out tracts all over the town. We invited them to a service on the square that afternoon. After we ran out of tracts, we then held an outdoor service on the town square. Although not many showed up, we did have two young ladies stay and receive Jesus Christ as their own personal saviors. We would like to see a work opened in San Pablo. Please pray that God would send laborers into His harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few. On Sunday nights after our church services, I go out to Maranatha Baptist Church and preach their evening service since they are without a pastor. We also go out to the animal market and pass out tracts to the people out there. Our kids enjoy going out and giving out the good news. I also preach the anniversary services for a small church just outside of Cajamarca. After the services, we hiked about a mile through the fields and woods before reaching a small area with barely enough water to baptize with. There, I had the privilege of baptizing some of their people. What a tremendous experience and a great time that we had with these people at this small little town. These are some of the goals and some of the things that we would like to accomplish in Peru.
Hi, I would like to share with you my burden to start a crisis pregnancy center as a ministry of our church in Cajamarca. Over the last few years, we have personally seen with and dealt with many unwed mothers in unwanted pregnancies. Our goal would be to counsel, lead them to the Savior, and disciple these young girls. We also would like to raise awareness of the need for purity in the lives of young people today. We have been able to find a Christian obstetrician who is willing to help us. The statistics and rate of abortion is unbelievable, and how easy it has become is heartbreaking. Please pray with us as we endeavor in this new ministry to reach young people for Christ and show them the hope of the Savior.
Having lost leaders and lacking pastors for the work, we see a great need for an institute to train people for the ministry in our area. We would like to help further train some of the men that are even now working in the ministry and help prepare them and others for the work of starting and pastoring churches in this mountainous region of Peru. Please pray with us as we strive towards this goal. It has been my heart's desire for years to reach out into the small villages without any gospel preaching works. A tent ministry would allow us the opportunity to reach these areas. Anticipating that this could be a very helpful ministry, we decided to make a homemade tent to test it out. After designing and setting up the tent, we were ready to go. We held a tent meeting outside our church first. Though we didn't pack the tent out as we would have liked to, we did have visitors every single night, and we saw souls saved. I also took the tent out to the anniversary services at the small town mentioned before, and the tent was packed. We would like to get a real tent to take it out to communities and preach evangelistic meetings to see more souls saved, with the idea that those people could then be the start of a new church plant. Please pray with us about this, as we need a tent and other things for this ministry. With this ministry, we hope to be able to effectively reach the people that are scattered abroad in Peru. There are people everywhere. There are towns that have yet to be reached. Would you go? Would you leave behind your family, friends, and go work in Peru? Would you give so others could go? Would you pray? We are going. Please pray with us. Help us reach these people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then I would just say really quickly, just continue to pray for us as we're heading back. We are looking forward to getting back December 3rd. And we are, a couple things I left out of the video is Spanish spoken language. We do live way up in the Andes Mountains, about 9,000 feet above sea level. And we are looking forward to getting back. So just pray for us, and we covet your prayers and appreciate your prayers for us. Thank you.
Amen. I recognize a few faces, Brother Shane. I may come back and have some more guinea pig with you. Brother Mike Ferris is going to come now, South Africa.
Hey, man, it's been good to be here. Bio has been a real blessing to us, and I just appreciate them very much. Before I say anything, I do have some of these little prayer cards for Herb Hutchinson. He's a pastor for 32 years, I'll get it right, in Temple Baptist Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. He's retired, and he's preaching conferences, and he just asked me if I'd give them to pastors, so if you want one, I have them. You know, when I was a young Christian, I got saved on the mission field. I wasn't a missionary, I was a Catholic. I was in the Marines. I got saved over in Okinawa, Japan. But you know, that was a real blessing to me because God saved me through Mission Works, a serviceman center there outside Camp Hansen, and God enabled me and called me to be a missionary, and I feel that's a real privilege. You know, I got to admit, I look back sometimes and I just say, I don't understand why God called me, but I'm thankful that he did. When I was a young Christian, I read John chapter 3, and it struck my heart. Here is a religious man. Here's a leader in Israel, and it says in verse 10, and Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knoweth not these things? And I think that's one of the things that breaks my heart, is seeing people that are religious, people that go to church, people that think they're serving God, and they're just following a dead religion. Meshach and Lena are good, faithful members of our church. Well, the first time I met them, actually I was building a Sunday school, Zozo, so that we could have Sunday school there in Lyric, and he drove in and said, you know, our church is too far away for us to go to every week. Would it be all right if we visit your village, I mean your church? And I said, sure, we'd love you to come. I said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I just came and visited you? Well, I made a visit to their home, and I actually started my Bible discipleship course with them. I know you say, why disciple lost people? Well, the very first lesson, I'm having a good time here, you know. The very first lesson is about salvation, and it's a great way to lay the foundation of what salvation is and what they need. And although they've been attending the Lutheran church all their life, they both received Christ as their Savior. Well, years later, we were sitting on his porch. We were actually waiting for a funeral. We have night vigils before the morning of the funeral, and so I had to be someplace. And so I was over his house, and we were just sitting there, and he said, you know, Maruti, he said, we were very traditional growing up. And what he meant by that is he was very involved in the looking to the witch doctor and trusting his ancestors to get him through life. He said, you know, we had a sacrifice. We had the Sangoma bless our car so that it would give us good service. He said, when we get together as a family, when we get with our relatives, we would offer a sacrifice to the ancestors. Now, in the funeral, if you ever notice, the hearse goes in, but the preachers are walking in front because they're talking and they're asking the ancestors to help transition this person into the afterlife with them. And he was sitting there and telling me these things, that even his first boy was born before they were married. He says, but since we've been coming to your church, you've been teaching us the Bible. And we started to see that the life that we were living is not according to the Word of God. We like to show Christian movies when we can, and we showed the movie Courageous. One time I said Contagious. I'm real good at that. And you know what he did? He bought his daughter a ring. And he sat down with her. She saw the movie. And he says, I bought this ring, and I want to have a special pledge with you that you would wear this ring until your wedding so that your husband could replace this ring with his ring. And it's a promise to stay pure. This is hard in South Africa. It's a promise to stay pure. Some people say if you're dating, that means you're sleeping with them. This is a promise to stay pure until you're married. I drive through villages and I see a lot of church buildings. There's a Kingdom Hall there in Lyric. There's a mosque. They took a house and converted it into a mosque. There's a lot of religion in South Africa. But there's a lot of people that don't know the Lord. And that's the burden of our heart. God's enabled us to be part in seeing him raise up two churches. And the first church, Emmanuel and Zolo, became the pastor in 1999, and he's been faithfully pastoring there since. Grace Baptist Church is in Lyric. We have Alec Boney. He is not ordained yet, but he's watching over that church, and we're looking for him to take it over. We just thank the Lord that we can see churches established. I believe people need to be saved, but they're like fish out of water. They need to be I will watch my time. They need to be established in a good church. And my greatest prayer when I see people saved is to see them grow up in the Lord and see national leadership take over that church so we can go and do it again. And that's what we're about. We're home for this furlough. My son's getting married June 1st, and we'll be heading back late in June. And I just ask that you pray. If you'd like us to come, we'd love to be in your church. God bless you. My wife's going to come.
Sorry. My life's verse is Psalm 13:6. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And I am so thankful for God's leading in my life. My father died when I was an infant, but my mother raised us in church, so I got to hear the gospel from a young age. And I got truly born again when I was 14. And I was always interested in missionaries. It was always a blessing having missionaries come in the church and everything. So it was not too much of a surprise during our sophomore year at Tennessee Temple during Bible conference, Dr. Fred Brown was preaching that God spoke to my heart and I surrendered to be a missionary. Didn't meet Mike until my senior year because he had come in from the Marine Corps, and I knew he was called to be a missionary and he was willing to go anywhere. And I was surrendered. I was willing, but you know, the good Lord knew. I sort of like the idea of close to home, Canada or Mexico. That wasn't too far away. But it was during, North American Baptist Missionary Association had just been started at Gilead Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. They had an all NABMA missionary conference. And Brother Chris Radebaugh was there and some others, and Bukla Lako from Ethiopia. And sometimes I think the Lord has a little sense of humor. I was scheduled to sing that night, and I was singing, Lord, send me anywhere. And Brother Bukla Lako came up to me and shook my hand. He says, come to Africa. Come to Africa. And I smiled and thought in my mind, you're crazy. No, thank you. But it was during that service that night the Lord broke my heart, made me willing to go to Africa. And I wouldn't trade it for $1 million. I know some people mention, oh, Africa, like that's the worst thing on God's earth. But to us, it's the greatest blessing on earth. I'm from Atlanta area, and honey, there's a church on almost every corner. What a privilege to go where village after village after village needs you. They need a Baptist church there, and especially Afrikaans people, they come to us and they say, oh, what are you doing here? Oh, I would give my arm to have an American passport. And so it's just that we're blessed to be there, and we're thankful to be there. And it was 25 years ago that Mike first went to one of the Bio November meetings, and a year later we went and got our question time and acceptance, and we just praise God for allowing us to be with the Bio family. It's just so rewarding working with the people, being with children. You know, one time one of the older girls was telling me, oh, Mama Maruti, these little children just love you. You touch them. You know, I pat them on the back or I pat their heads. And it's, we're just different as Americans. And I just love them to death. And many of you may know I desired to have a baby girl, but the Lord just never gave us that. And I realized about 5 years ago, oh, my goodness, God has given me so many girls. I've got all my Sunday school children. And both of our national pastors have two daughters each. So I've got my granddaughters. And, you know, it's just such a blessing how God works in your lives. And for this last term, the most rewarding thing for me has been working with our ladies. I always felt good working with children, felt that's where my talent is. But you know, the Lord progresses us as we get older. I don't even actually mind teenagers too much now, but I absolutely love teaching ladies now and just seeing their growth in their lives through getting them to really study the Word of God. And Miss Lena's organizing and staying in as the head of our ladies' Bible studies while we're gone. And oh, what a blessing. I get emails from her, and I'm just thrilled. You know, it's the Word of God that's changing their lives. And let's just keep on out there and keep giving them the Word. Thank you. Thank you, pastors, for making it possible. Thank you, our dear prayer partners. Oh, my. We can't survive without you. We love you. Thank you.
Amen. For some of you that don't know, Dr. Vic and Joyce started Bio under the name North American Baptist Missionary Association. So when she was referring to NABMA, she was actually referring to Bio. The next missionary that's coming up is a missionary where if you think, the Bergs, they're going to South Dakota, their home missions, after visiting the Rosebud Reservation, it might be in the United States, but it's probably one of the most difficult mission fields in the world. And I praise the Lord for what God is doing through the Bergs. It's a hard work, but I think you'll understand a little bit more after Brother Kevin comes and shares with us.
Man, I really enjoyed those other missionaries. Been a good time this week, and God's really spoken to my heart. Brother John said 15 minutes. I was like, wow, I never get 15 minutes in a church. So. I'm just kidding, pastors. I love pastors. And my dad's been a pastor all my life. So in spite of that, I still love him. But, you know, I was laying in bed last night thinking to myself, what do I want to say tomorrow? And God kind of chastised me a little bit. He said, Kevin, it doesn't matter what you want to say. It matters what I want you to say. You know, I love bio. And everybody that's connected, they've been such an encouragement to us. And our family came back from the mission field a little wounded. And I know sometimes I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If there was a place to quit, I would have quit. I was looking for places to quit, and I had good friends like John. I'd call him, and he'd remind me that we're doing it for the Lord, and the Lord deserves the rewards of his suffering. He sent me that a text one time, and I said, I didn't say it to him. I was like, shut up, John. I want to whine. So that's what real friends do, though, don't they? Amen. And but when we came and we stayed at Bio, when we came off the field for about 20 days, I guess we visited just a couple churches, but everybody there was such an encouragement. And I love pastors, but you know, unless you've lived in a different culture, it's a totally different thing. That's why we're co-laborers. Everybody has something they can contribute. But being able to talk to people that have been and lived in another culture, and they have an understanding of what it means. I wanted to use the words of the people there, not my words, to kind of express the need there and what God can do. This gentleman wrote these words. I look around Indian country and I see the devastation and degradation, the hopelessness and the alcoholism, the drug addictions, the lack of respect for the elders, the many suicides among the young, the criminal acts of the gangs that now roam our reservation, bringing death and severe moral damage to entire communities, the domestic violence, the abuse of children and spouses, and the total renunciation of any spirituality. Now, they haven't renounced religion, but there's nothing spiritual about it. And he said, I am deeply concerned. And this was written in a newspaper down in Sedona, Arizona. Some white man had an Indian ceremony, and several people died. And so the Arbol looking horse is the is a bearer of the sacred pipe bundle for the Lakota people. And he got upset and said some things on the news. And this gentleman was writing to the Arbol looking horse. And he said, so this is what he said, Arbol, why are the sacred rites you represent not being used to bring our own people back from the brink? Why is there such a high rate of STDs and teen pregnancies in Lakota country? The criminal reports of rape, drug convictions, sexual child abuse, spousal abuse, and even murders committed by enrolled members are mounting. And I wonder how any of these terrible things can be stopped and even reversed. I see these things and I am ashamed for us. I don't care whether we are called Indians, Natives, Native Americans, or whatever, because that's not where the problems lie. I just don't want to be the Indian people to be called lost, alcoholics, abandoned, hopeless, worthless, and doomed. If there is power in the sacred pipe bundle of the Lakota, bring it out and use it before there is no longer a Lakota alive. There's a story I heard about a religious organization in New England that spent several years writing a holy Bible in the languages of a local tribe. When the Bible was completed, there were no more Indians left of that tribe to read it. Isn't that sad? We say we came to win lost people to the Lord, and I believe God wanted us here in the States, but let me tell you, friends, the first Christians that came, many of them were not very Christian. And as they were working, some were working among the Indians trying to reach them. The majority were pushing them off of their land and considered them less than human. He said, it's good there's a sacred white buffalo calf pipe bundle and a 19th keeper to bring it out and pray with it. But if this power cannot be used to save a people that can make every Lakota pour that beer down the drain or dump that whiskey or wine on the ground or burn those drugs, what good is it? Now, this is a man that follows these ways. I ask these questions with respect because I fear for the future of the Sioux Nation. And like many other concerned Lakota, I pray there is a way to save it. This is a lost man that looks at his people. He doesn't understand what their real need is. But I know what their greatest need is, and it's to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now let me give you the words of another man who experienced the grace of God. He was in a bad situation. He was serving the Lord, and he got arrested and put in jail for 4 months in the tribal jail. He was completely innocent of the charges. Later on, they found his name wasn't even on the original complaint. And the only connection he had was he was related to some of those guys that were charged. Actually, the day that it happened, I visited him at home, and he wasn't feeling well. I knew that he hadn't gone anywhere. But here's what he wrote. He said, I continue to remain positive about things, but there have been a few times that the frustration, loneliness, and boredom have almost caused me to react negatively towards people. Instead, I picked up my Bible and read, just open and read. It's funny because I know God is with me. I know this because I will open my Bible, and somehow the verses I read often pertain to my mood, the situation, or something that will show me that my current situation is not as bad as what some of the people in the Bible had to deal with. I'm truly blessed. I've taken every opportunity to minister to people here, share my testimony about what God has done in my life and for me and my family. I've been able to find verses to share, and it seems that God shows me where to look. I'm getting more familiar with the Bible every day. I praise God every day that I have been able to share my testimony with the fellows here, and I've been able to use this to introduce people to the Lord. I realize that many of these guys here have never had the opportunity to hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But now there have been over 10 guys who have made the biggest choice of their lives, along with 5 or more females. I've even taken the opportunity to share with quite a few staff here about all the glory of God. Aren't you the one who reminded me that as a Christian man, that it isn't my will, but the will of God I need to put first? I heard that, and I remember it. I do my best to glorify God in everything I do. That was my good friend Damien DeSursa. Damien spent about 12 years in federal penitentiary. He was a very violent person. And while he was in the prison system, he got involved with a gang called MS-13, one of the most violent gangs to come out of Mexico, paramilitary that came out of Mexico and has filtered up into the United States. Several years ago, a girl informed on them, and they practically decapitated her in the Washington, D.C. area. That was a gang he was involved with in prison. Had MS-13 tattooed on his face, had a teardrop tattooed on his face. I was in church the other day, and a guy was a former investigator in prison. He said a teardrop means he killed somebody. That's why they get those tattoos. Damien never talked to me about, he said, I don't want to tell you what I did to get into that gang or things. I'm ashamed of him. And he, while in prison, he studied all different kinds of religions, but you know, the day he met Christ, there was something totally different. And I didn't have the opportunity to win Damien to Christ, though I did have the opportunity to disciple him. When I first met him, his wife had a miscarriage, and I performed the wakes and the funeral. That's interesting when he's talking about the all-night vigils. They call them a hunky ktapi. They stay up for, they used to do it for 4 nights because they believe the spirit stayed around the body for 4 days, but they don't do them that much anymore for that long. But anyway, when I first met him, he was talking a lot about Indian spirituality and all that kind of thing. And through having part in his daughter's funeral, I started discipling Damien, and well, God really was making a difference in his life. And he'd go visiting with me, and he'd cry. He'd get, here's this big guy about this big with a teardrop tattoo and MS-13 on his face and body covered in tattoos, but he'd cry as he talked about what Jesus had done for him. The last time I talked to Damien, he said, Pastor Kevin, I want to have a Christian school so my kids can, they go to, at home. You know, he used to go home and he'd say, I'm saved, how about you? He'd say that to his kids all the time. I know where I'm going when I die, how about you? To his kids. And he, of course, came to church, but he said, you know, I want him to have that kind of influence in school also. We got a call a couple days later that he had been in a car accident and was killed. And, you know, when he came out of jail, he was distant. And I tried to visit with him, and I could tell that I don't know what was going on in his life, but he was being pulled somehow. And but he, that day he was killed, he drove down to the casino with a cousin of his named Jay Blue Thunder. Please pray for him. And had a couple drinks, and on the way back, he had a blowout on his car and flipped the car, and he was crushed to death. And we, of course, had the funeral. And you know, I have personally done 70 funerals in the less than 7 years we've been there. And I tell you, 99% of those were senseless. The devil tried to send us off before we left for furlough, and one of my friends, Merle Pino, 56 years old, hung himself in his backyard. And his granddaughter found him. It's such a sad place. It's hell on earth. It's a foretaste. It's what it is. What hell is going to be like for those people. When they leave this life, their suffering is not going to be less. It's going to be much worse. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, just like Damien. I pulled up I was just visiting around one day, and I pulled up in the yard, Damien's sister, where I thought her family was staying, and she almost ran me over. She came pulling up in a truck, and she was drunk, and got in my face and said, "Who are you?" And I told her who she was, and when she realized I was friends with Damien, she got a little nice. She goes, "I was about to knock you down." She said, "I thought you were an FBI agent." I get that a lot. I wonder why. I've learned not to wear my sunglasses when I walk up to a door. But I'm serious. I've had people tell me, friends tell me, "Listen, they thought I was with the FBI. They saw me with some white guy with sunglasses on in the car, and they thought I was conspiring with the FBI. But you know what she said to me? She said, my brother was totally different after he started going to that church. Now, she didn't understand it wasn't necessarily the church, though that's what helps believers grow, but it was a spirit of God living in him that made the difference. You know, sometimes people get around me and I feel like a storm cloud. They're like, "How is the ministry going?" And I think to myself, "You don't really want me to tell you. You really don't want me to say." I've learned, you know, in this almost 7 years we've been there, I've learned one thing. I'm not going to be able to do a thing in the world out there for those people. Can't do anything for them. Can't change one person. And if anything happens, it has to be the Spirit of God that does it.
Amen.
We have a faithful God. From when I was little, I had quit written all over me. And I quit every time I had opportunity. I'd quit something. You know, I got saved when I was young, but I went out into the world. But God never quit on me. You know, every day on that reservation, I faced my rebellion. Every day. Our people have not had the gospel for just a few years. The Catholics have been there for 130 years. Most of those people hate the Catholics, but they'll tell you they're Catholic because they're afraid to get away from the Catholic Church. They're afraid that they get out of the get the priest angry. He might damn them to eternity. Our people are so confused. At Merle's funeral, I have told a quarter of, right? At Merle's funeral, his daughter, I preached out of Revelation about how we're created for his pleasure. His daughter came up to me after and she said, "Kevin, I want to start coming to Sunday school. I need to start coming to church." And then another, maybe a half an hour later, she came back to me. She said, "Kevin, I want to cut my hair off for my dad. That's a Indian tradition." She said, "How would I do that?" And I told her, "I don't know anything about, you know, I'm not involved in Indian tradition." There's such a confusion among the people. There is a dualism that exists in the minds of our people. One of the ladies that came to church said this. She said, "My people need to be saved." And then, in this true Stacy, in the very next statement, she said, "But my people existed before the Bible. Our people were spirits before they came into the world." There is such a darkness in the minds of these people. And we're excited that Ray and Nicole Martinez are coming to help us. I was going to say, when I came up here, I wanted to thank all the people, all the churches that support us, all the pastors that support us, prayers and financially. And all those that just support us with prayer. And if you only support us financially, continue to do that, but get your prayer life right now. But if you don't support us, don't support us, support Ray and Nikki. You know, God's has really encouraged us by raising up just after a couple, I think we were there 4 years or when Ray and them came out to visit, 5 years maybe, and God raised them up. You know, they came, Ray, their church, Pastor Herb Hutchinson, by the way, was Ray's church. We're not a supporting church of ours, and normally we would give priority to supporting churches, but I went to school with Ray, and he went to bring a youth group. I said, go ahead and do that, Ray, bring a group out, and I didn't say a thing to him. I know God that he had thought about going into work in the prisons with Rock of Ages, and then he felt maybe he should go to Mexico because his family is Mexican extraction. His dad died of cirrhosis when Ray was really young. But, and you know, I understand this. If they're not called to be on an Indian reservation, you better not be there. Don't you go there. You better make sure God wants you there. So I never said a word to Ray, but they called back sometime later and said, we think God's called us to come out there and help you. Pray for us. We had to separate from the other missionary we were working with. He's a good man. He's better than I'll ever be. But he's entered into some areas that we think are not true to the scriptures. We can't use the armor of Saul. That God, Lord kind of pointed that out at me the other day. We can't use the armor of Saul to do the Lord's work. It has to be by the word of God, by his spirit. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support and your love for us. You know, sometimes I'm kind of a crybaby anyway, but sometimes I kind of feel ashamed. But you know, I'd rather be this way than how I have been some. I used to go to the reservation and visit there, and I'd have to go hide when I saw how they lived. Not because they were poor, and they're poor by our standards, but because of the chaos that these people live in. Can you imagine people drinking hairspray and Lysol and hand cleaner to get drunk? Stacy and I go into a home to visit, and there's roaches all over the walls. There's food all over the place. Little kids, their teeth are rotting out of their heads. They have an open oven there to heat the house. And Mama's laying on the bed. She's dying because of her alcoholism all these years, but she won't go to the doctor because she's too stubborn. She was one that used to come to church all the time. We had a work day, and half of our group showed up drunk. That's our work day at church. I had to call the police at the end of services because people pass out in our church service. We were there for a little while, and we had our service in St. Francis, and I'll shut up after this. I'll make my flute song faster. But we got there, and no one came for service, which wasn't that unusual that time of the month. Stacy and I went in, and something seemed different. We couldn't tell at first, but we noticed that there was a refrigerator handle laying on the ground. And I'm thinking, where'd this come from? It came through the window, by the way. And that building's been broken into so many times. We were just, I don't even know if it was the second year we were there. We were just kind of discouraged, you know. We cleaned everything up and we sat down and I said, well, let's pray, Stacy. We need to pray. And then two guys came in and they were really drunk. They didn't really listen much to what was said. And after the service, one of the guys said, I need a ride home. I said, okay. And he said, it's just over the hill. Now, 40 miles later, we were still just going over the hill. And we got down to a town where there's a liquor store, and that's where he got out. Before he got out, he went like this, Nupa, because I spoke a little bit of Lakota to him. That means two. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, do you have $2? Then he told me he liked the hat on my dashboard. I said, no, that fits my head real nice. God loves them. You know, God loves that lady that came to our VBS and she was hanging around. She urinated on herself. And she said, I need to ride home. She said this, makas e woman, makas e mamana, I smell like a skunk. She was telling Stacy. And she goes, I need to ride home. I said, okay, we'll give you a ride. Stacy's like, because we didn't have a church van. All we had was ours. So she came inside. She goes, you know, she urinated on herself because she's drunk. So while Stacy was talking to her, I went, and praise the Lord, not luckily, but we had a blanket in the back, and I put it over the seat, and I said, you're going to be sitting next to her on the way, because I don't want to just stick her on that seat on a blanket by herself. I don't want her to be offended. But so Stacy, and she was hugging on Stacy and snuggling with her. And she's crippled. She can't really walk very well, so I had to help her get out of the van. And got my hands dirty. But I thought to myself, what must God see when he sees us? How does he see us? How could we ever feel better than anybody? God can love a sinner like me. He loves those people. They're hard. They're filled with pride. But God wants them for his own. Please pray for them. And pray for our family. Thank you. Am I supposed to play the song, Gunn? All right. I don't like to toot my own horn, but since it's the only one I brought. My little daughter, she's such a blessing and a curse. she's so cute, but she's so devilish. But I don't know who got her singing this song. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. But you know, she goes around saying that. Happy day, and then she smacks somebody. So, but I was gonna play part of that if I can remember how to do it. Didn't do it right. Didn't do it right. Forget that song. All right, we'll do something else. Can't remember how to do it. All right. Let's do something about Jesus. I think y'all might recognize this song.
Praise the Lord. God's sent some fine missionaries to work with Bio, and I praise God for the faithfulness. I'm not sure if any of us understand the depth of the problem in the Indian nations in America. I believe one of the greatest mission fields, two of them, is in America, in the inner city and the Indian nations. And so let's really be praying. I want my wife to come on up. We kind of got... our schedule changed a little the other night, unknowingly. I did, unknowingly. But anyway, I have the next session. I'm going to yield part of my time. I want you to see what's going on at Victory Schools. I want you to kind of introduce it while I get this ready. It'll take about a minute and a half.
Well, I want you to know that